Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. We've got a great, great show for you today. All the way from Ireland, we have Pat McManus with us from the Pat McManus Band. And we're going to be playing some new songs from their new album, Full Service Resumed. It's going to be great. He just called and we lost the call, so I'm hoping he calls back. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show last night. I grabbed the 100 top best songs, rock songs, from a list from Amazon, and it was laughable. It really was. And so anyway, I picked out of that list what I thought were the top 100 songs, and where they were located in that list was just unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, the sound quality may not have been fabulous. It was the first time I did it, and I don't have the MP3s for them, so I had to play them basically off of what I have here. So it came out okay, but I mean, it could be better. So tonight, you know, we are celebrating Rocktober, my favorite month, and we are going to be celebrating all music. So, I'm going to focus on rock. And I was considering, since it's Saturday, to maybe a dance night. I don't know. Since everybody is out dancing or having a good time on a Saturday, why not? So I believe I keep losing Pat. He's calling and I keep losing him. So I'm hoping we get connected in a second. So I apologize. He's calling from Ireland. And where he is, his connections aren't fantastic. So probably in the hills of Ireland. So anyway, but the new album is fantastic. We're going to play three songs for them today. And hope you enjoy them. And yeah, we keep trying to get him to join us. Pat is trying to call in. So I do hope you enjoyed the show last night. I had a lot of fun doing it. I mean, I love music, so, you know, all kinds of music. And so to just play these songs was fantastic. And so anyway, we're waiting for Pat to give us a call. I hope you're all having a great day. It's gorgeous here on the East Coast. Again, it is October, and it is gorgeous. It is my favorite time of the year, the best month for weather. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. It's perfect, 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 perfect. I don't know if you guys heard, but we're supposed to get a really, really nasty winter. So I don't doubt it. I mean, rain isn't even rain anymore. Every time it rains lately, it's a deluge. It's torrential and flooding. I mean, New Jersey has never experienced anything, and New York, for that matter, has never experienced anything like that. So, Pat, try call us back, please. I see you tried twice, and we keep getting disconnected. So, well, if Pat doesn't get through, we will discuss his career, and we'll play his music anyway. So if we don't get to speak to him personally. But anyway, as I was saying, Pat has been playing for like 40 years. He started out playing violin and then picked up the guitar, and his whole family is musical, and there was instruments laying around the house. And they all just learned how to play. And Pat has played with many, many, many bands. Well, not played with them, I should say. He's toured with them. He's toured with Bon Jovi, Rat, oh God, you know, where's the list here? He's got so many bands that he toured with. And I wanted to talk to him because I'm a huge Samantha Fox fan too. And he actually worked on some of her stuff. He played on her song, Touch Me. And I do love Samantha Fox. Actually, if I do the dance stuff tonight, I'm definitely playing Samantha Fox because I love her. Yeah, so he's toured with Rat, Rush, Bon Jovi. Let's see. He also did a remake of Slade's Mama, We're All Crazy Now. You remember that one. Mama, Mama, we're all crazy now. He's played, opened, or toured with Bon Jovi, Rat, Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Rush, Sting, Gary Moore, The Scorpions. I mean, that's just a few. So anyway, they do have a new album out, and it is called Full Service Resumed. And they started, as I said, when they were growing up, there was a lot of music in the family. And so they started playing, and they had a different name, and someone mentioned Mama's Boys on an interview that they did, and the name stuck, so they became the Mama's Boys. So without further ado, while we wait for Pat to call us, I don't know if he's probably having a bad connection. I don't know. I'm going to play one of his songs. Let's see. He's trying in again. Let's see if we can get Pat on the phone. Hey, Pat.
Pat's here.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
Hold on a moment.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Not so bad, and you? You okay?
Yes, I'm wonderful. I'd say top of the morning to you, but it's morning here and afternoon there, so top of the morning
yes,
to me,
well
I guess.
Yes, we're well into the afternoon now.
Well, I can't thank you enough for joining me all the way from Ireland. I appreciate it, and I was listening to some of the songs on the Full Service Resumed album. And I love it. I've chosen three songs for the folks to hear. I hope that's okay. And I hope you like the choice that I picked. But before we play them, I was just talking to everybody about how you got started. I mean, you were really a violinist when you started, and you come from a musical family, and instruments were laying all over the house. So did you learn the violin by ear, or were you taught?
No, well, a little bit of both. Believe it or not, to go right back to the very beginning, my dad was born in New York.
Oh.
And, yeah, and he did the very strange, his family did the very strange thing of Irish parents, did the very strange thing of going back to Ireland in the 30s, which was very unusual, you know. So my dad remembered, you know, the very eclectic mix of music as he was growing up in New York, you know, from Dixieland to blues to, you know, to traditional Irish, because he was in the Bronx, he was living, that's where he was born. And when it came to him back to Ireland, he kind of immersed himself in the folk tradition, as there was a great history in our family of fiddle players. So he sort of, at the very tender age of, I was 5 years old when he thrust a fiddle under my chin and said, he taught me a couple of few notes on it, and from there on he said, you're on your own. So really, in all honesty, I was self-taught and learned by ear. But then as I went to school, I got a little bit of coaching. But at that stage, I was really proficient on the violin. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, when you're that age, you know, I couldn't see the point of going back to the beginning again to study classical music. So I continued on playing the violin as a traditional folk artist, you know. So and,
right.
That culminated in me winning the All-Ireland Championship at the age of, 14, I think, yeah. It's a long
wow.
time ago now, anyway. Yeah. So
nice.
There was always music in the house. My dad was a multi-instrumental. He played the sax and the guitar and the violin, and my mum sang. So there was always some instrument laying around the house. So, and we were always encouraged, you know, to listen to music. And there was always music in the house. We had this great thing of where people would call to the house, what we call Cailliers back here in Ireland, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly every one of them played something, you know. So as a kid, I was remember being so excited listening to these different people playing in, you know, the music. So I got really excited about that and sort of immersed myself in the traditional folk. It wasn't until I became real teenager, I suppose, that I discovered rock and roll, as you do, you know.
Right. Now, when your father was here in New York, what kind of music was he playing? Was he performing or,
sorry,
or
Joanne,
no?
I,
he just...
I, the reception's really bad, you know, so yeah, go ahead.
I said when your dad was in New York, what kind of music was he playing and was he performing at clubs and things like that?
No, he was too young. I think at the age of 13, he went back to Ireland, so he hadn't started playing at that stage. And but he remembers vividly, you know, hearing the Dixieland jazz at the time, and I suppose a lot of the traditional folk Irish music there as well. He said there was a real eclectic mix in New York, and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where he got his love of all different kinds of music, and he was very open to all other kinds of music. You know, here in Ireland, you know, if you're a trad musician, you tended to be a bit more of a purist, and you didn't really listen to other styles of music. But my dad, it was very different in our house, and he always encouraged us to check out new musicians and different types of music, you know. So I suppose that's where that was reflected in. So when we headed off into the rock and roll world, he fully endorsed it and encouraged it.
Nice. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know your brothers were also musicians, and was the name of the band that you guys started, was that Pulse, and then you became Mama's Boys, or please let
That's
me know.
That's correct. Yeah. We decided, you know, for fun. It was purely, you have to remember, Joanne, all the music that we played was no great idea behind it. There was no sort of preconceived ideas about, oh, we want to be rock and roll stars and we want to be in, you know, the up in the headlights. That never was the criteria for us. It was just to make the music and you know, put a smile on our own faces, and hopefully people that listen to it would put a smile on their faces as well, you know. So it never really was intended to be, you know, nothing more than just possibly playing for our own pleasure, and you
right.
know, for those who did join in and wanted to, you know, to listen to us play, and it was just purely to put a smile on the face. We didn't really know anything about the industry as well, you know. We come from a farm in the northwest of Ireland, you know, so we weren't that clued in as to actually how far you could take this. And it wasn't until we seen a Celtic rock band which came to our local town that the lights went on, and we heard them play. And because they were a fully fledged rock band, but because they had interspersed in Irish music into it, we were fit to relate to it really big time. I think maybe if I'd went to see Led Zeppelin at the same time, I would have said, "Forget it. I don't get it. I don't understand it." But because there was Irish music interspersed in their songs, I could relate to it and understood. And it was their energy and excitement of the music that really captivated us as three young brothers, you know. And I sort of went home after the first gig and told the lads all about this wonderful band I'd seen, and I kind of delegated out the instruments. I decided I was going to play the electric guitar, my brother was going to be the bass player and singer, and my youngest brother Tommy was going to be the drummer. And we were just, you know, it was just, you know, just for fun, really, you know. We had a little shed that my dad allowed us to rehearse, and we would practice away all day there, you know, just for fun and the sheer joy of playing the music.
Right. Now, I have to ask you this, because Tin Lizzy is one, besides you two, you know, one of the biggest bands that came out of Ireland, and you also toured with them. The farewell tour was, how much of an influence was Philip Lynott to you? From Tin Lizzy.
Oh, he was a huge influence. I will tell you a little story here. When we did start to make little inroads, the Horsetips management kind of took us, I'm talking about Horsetips, the Celtic rock band, they kind of took us under the wing. And because they did that, they allowed us to do a little tour of Ireland with them. And out of that came the management from them. And they put us on at a matchmaking festival, Dunglahaff, at a matchmaking festival in County Clare. That's the west of Ireland, right?
Mm.
So we were up on stage, and funnily enough, on that day, Philip Lynott was actually doing his solo career. He had a solo album out, and he was playing that day as well. And he knew our manager at the time, and he kept up on the stage and had big hugs and the big hellos, and we were actually playing on the stage. And Philip went to our manager, he went, "Who's these guys?" And Joe said, "Oh, they're a little band I'm looking after, the three brothers, you know." So Philip said, these guys are great. He goes and he said, "Look," he says, "give us a call." He says, "to my office the following week." And he says, "I would like those guys to actually come on tour with our farewell tour." And really, that's how that happened. It was through Philip's guidance, and he allowed us on that farewell tour. And he kind of took us under his wing a little bit, you know, and got us great exposure in the UK, which we would have never got at that stage, you know. And suddenly people were going, "Who's this other Irish band that are playing before Thin Lizzy on the fair?" So we've very much very indebted to Philip, because he was a lovely person, a very kind person, and, you know, he allowed three young lads from northwest of Northern Ireland to dream and to bring that dream to fruition from our point of view. So we'll be eternally forgetting to all the lads in Thin Lizzy, Brian Downey, you know, Scott Gorham. They were just wonderful to us, you know, and I'll never forget that experience. It's etched in my memory forever. But above all, Philip, just lovely, you know.
Yeah, how cool is that, huh? Wow.
If you'd said to me you're going to meet Philip Lynn at a matchmaking festival, I would have said, "Are you mad?" You know. But that's lady luck, you know. It transpired that way, and that's the way it happened, and that's the truth. That's how it really happened, you know.
Yeah, and how about you two? Any connection to them at all, or no, never?
Believe it or not, not really. They were slightly before us, you know. And not really any massive connection with those guys. I mean, you have to remember we were more of a rock band, and what would you say? They were more indie rock, you know, which wasn't what our style of music. So our paths crossed a few times in the early days, you know, but it was quite obvious to us then that they were going to be absolutely enormous. I seen them play funnily enough, I seen them supporting Thin Lizzy at a festival in Ireland. And they were totally fantastic. You could tell my brother and I stood on the side of the stage and we said, "These guys are going to be huge." They were just so together. The songs were so wonderful, you know. So we weren't really that surprised when they became a global phenomenon, you know. Those guys had it all in bucket loads, you know. They were just an awesome talent. Yeah, so we did see them in the early days, the very, very early days. And even then, you could tell there was something really special happening there.
Right. Well, you guys have toured with, oh my God, I mentioned before we connected that you've toured with Bon Jovi, Rat, Black Sabbath, I mean, Iron Maiden, Rush, Sting, Gary Moore, The Scorpions. I mean, you've had an amazing, amazing career. And this new album is just really, it's just kick ass. I love it. I love it.
Oh, well, so, thank you, Joanne.
Now tell go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
Well, I was going to ask you now when I know Full Service Resumed is being released in October. Now, what did you do during the pandemic? Did you take the time to write during this time, or is this this album is the result, or what's that?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think I was in the same boat as every musician. I think a lot of musicians that tour a lot and rely on touring found themselves at home. You know, there's only so many times Joanne you can mow the lawn and cut the hedges, you know.
So true.
So true. After I'd done that, and I even volunteered and went down and mowed my mum's lawn as well, and then I was still had time in my hands. So, yes, I decided it would be better to put it to good use. And I also did some live streams from home here as well, just by myself. But what I did was I would create the whole tracks myself, the drum parts, the bass parts, and then I would play the guitar live and sing live and do live streams every couple of weeks, which was really marvelous for me to do, you know, and also for the fans that were out there, because, you know, you with social media and everything today, it's easy to keep connected to the fans, and I like to do that and chat away to the people on social media, you know, the people that are into the band, you know. So they kept saying to me, you know, "Are you going to do a live stream? Are you going to do..." And it was a blessing in disguise, because number one, it kept me occupied mentally, and sometimes I was spending 6 and 7 hours a day just programming the stuff and getting it all ready and doing. I mostly did about an hour and a half to an hour and three quarter shows every time I would do it, so So it was quite a long and they got to see me play at home here, which was quite nerve-wracking, but it turned out really, really well. And it was during that period also that I had the idea of doing the full service resumed album. You know, I had generated little ideas, but there were only little nuggets that I had, and I needed to develop them fully, and I had the time then to do that also. So hence I formed a bubble, believe it or not, with my own bandmates, and when I felt I was ready, then we went off to the studio and put the stuff down.
Right. Now, the title, Full Service Resumed, is it a play on coming back?
Yeah, you know, it was a little play. We thought, you know, what am I going to call it, you know? And then it was during the course of the conversation with Sally, my manager, that we actually said, she said, well, it's Full Service Resumed for you. So I said, hey, that's a really good name for the album, and hence that it stuck, you know. So and it was a little play on let's hope that everything soon turns to normality. We have done about 6 or 7 shows in the last 5-6 weeks, all socially distanced and you know, with the correct procedures taking place. So it feels like we're getting back to some kind of normality at the minute, you know. Keep our fingers crossed and hope that, you know, for everybody, you know, that we're all in this together, you know. So the sooner this we can get back to normality, the better. And, you know, hopefully we'll come out of this, the other side of this, much better, you know. And people, it's because it's funny, people said to me, you know, they didn't realize how much the, you know, the freedom when it was taken away from you like that and you're locked up for, you know, for long, many hours a day, you know, just what it means to go out and socialize and meet with your friends and share a pint and listen to a band. They said, we just took that all for granted. And they said, we won't anymore, you know. And we said, well, you know, likewise, the feeling's mutual, you know, we won't take you guys for granted anymore either, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, out of all the songs you could have covered, you covered Slade's Mama, We're All Crazy Now. Why that one?
Well, because,
it's a great song. I love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was an idea at the time because we were called, the band was called Mama's Boys.
Mama's Boys.
We thought, wouldn't it be cool, you know, to have a song with Mama in the title.
True.
And we didn't have anything ourselves with that. So somebody suggested to us that, oh, hey, you guys should do Mama, We're All Crazy Now. Mama's Boys, Mama, We're All Crazy Now. So it came, we said, hey, that'd be a great idea. So we went in to the studio in London and cut that track, unbeknownst to us, that a very famous American band were actually cutting it at the same time. We really, because we were on the other side of the pond and where we came from, we had no idea that this was happening, you know. And it transpires that the two tracks came out almost pretty simultaneously, you know. And of course, Quiet Riot were a mega band in America. They were so successful, they'd sold 6 or 10 million albums. So, you know, I think in many instances, people got confused then as to actually who was what, you know, or what was what. But you know, it was fun, and actually in many respects it caused a little bit of controversy, and it allowed DJs to play the two different versions, and people could vote in and see which one they liked best, you know. And so, you know, in many respects, I suppose, you know, although it was completely unintentional on our behalf anyway, you know, that happened, it kind of worked out okay in the end. And we weren't too upset about them bringing it out because we knew they were a big band anyway. You know, when we heard about it, we said, oh, well, you know, we're only a new band. We're the new kids on the block, so to speak. So, you know, people can make up their mind. But because of that,
but
you know,
the
consensus
was that your version was better than Quiet Riot's, though.
That's because we had the fiddle in it, you know.
Exactly. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my goodness. And I wanted to ask you another thing before we play a song, because I don't want to keep you. I mean, are you probably gigging tonight or something? It is Saturday, after all. So you worked with Samantha Fox. I love her. I absolutely love her. So how did that happen?
Well, it was funny. I mean, she was in the studio at the same time that my band was in the studio. And I got friendly with her producer. And we were just chatting and talking. He said, hey, you know, he says, I've got a track here. He says, I'd like you to play on. And it's Samantha Fox. Now, you have to remember, Samantha was a huge star in the UK and in Europe as well, you know. So when I just jumped at the chance, because you know, she's somebody I admire very, very much, really admire very much,
mm-hmm.
and her determination and her success. I just, you know, everybody could take a leaf out of her book. You know, she was just one determined lady, and I was really honored to be fit to play on it. And actually, later on, she actually recorded one of my songs as well, which
really?
The song was called Spirit of America, and she got the two guys from Judas Priest to play on the track. So I was absolutely beside myself with joy. Here's two guitar players from a band that I absolutely loved, and they're playing with Samantha. They put down the backing track. So all round, it was a fantastic experience for me, you know. So, and I was very proud of the fact that she actually did the song.
Yeah. And you know, she's more dance. That's why I was curious to know how you got involved with the dance. So that's pretty cool. And I love her. I'd love to have her on the show. Samantha Fox.
Yeah,
I love her. Yeah, I'd love to get her on the show. But I would love to play your songs for everybody because I don't want to hold you up. So I picked...
Okay, Joanne.
Yeah, I picked Doomsday, obviously, off of the, I wanted to pick Doomsday Clock for everybody to hear. So this, folks, is the Pat McManus Band. Doomsday, the full name is Doomsday Clock, right?
That's it.
Yep, Doomsday Clock from the Pat McManus Band. Enjoy.
Back, David!
Nothing Irish about that. That is pure rock,
no,
my friend.
No, it is not. You know, I'm steeped in tradition of 70s rock, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Now, over here, rock is kind of, you know, you're lucky if you get to hear it on the radio. How is it over in Ireland? Is rock still played mainly on the radio out there,
no,
or no?
No. It has become, I would say it has become a niche market, almost like jazz is, you know. It's a niche market.
Yeah.
Yes, you have little rock programs here and there, but no, predominantly it's girl bands and boy bands and, you know, rap and stuff like that there, you know. You
same here.
Seldom ever hear. You very seldom, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you very seldom ever hear the rock and roll guitars anymore. Not enough for the specialized shows, you know. So I know. It's no different over here.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate that. You know, they say that the industry is cyclical. When the hell is it coming back? You know, I mean, we've been listening to... Everybody has their own taste, obviously. But we've been listening to rap and hip-hop and all this electronic shit for really too long now. I mean, we got to switch it over. Let's bring the great music back. You know, it just, don't get me wrong, it's not bad, it's just not me, you know. And
no,
I
would be the exact same, you know. I will hold my hands up and say, you know, this is great or that great, but it's not something that I would particularly want to turn on the radio and listen to, you know. I like
no.
to hear, you know, the spirit of a band playing. I like to hear real, you know. So today's productions are, it's so compressed, and so the spirit of what was originally there is so squeezed out of those things that they all sound the same to me.
Me too. And you know, I don't understand why the record, you know, labels don't understand that the kids have no money. We've got the money. So, you know, well, with all this streaming now, you don't actually buy an actual hard copy of a CD or album, whatever, but I don't know. It just drives me nuts that there's a 60, 70-year-old man telling kids what to listen to, and all they got to do is just change the style, and we're back to where we were, you know, and it just never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, Joanne, it's really quite interesting because I get some younger kids coming to the shows, and they're just totally blown away. Oh, I didn't know you could, you know, a band could play like that together, you know. I didn't know that could happen. They're just totally, absolutely blown away by it all. I said, well, that's what a real band does, you know. You get up there and, you know, and so many times, you know, the record companies try to categorize and put them in a genre, you know, and that never was the case. In the 70s when I grew up, you know, you'd real crossovers on, you know, from rock there was one program in particular called Top of the Pops here you would get in the UK and in Northern Ireland and in the Republic of Ireland, and everybody watched it, but it could be everything from you know, disco right through to Thin Lizzy playing on it, you know. It didn't matter, as long as it was good, it was played and people had a choice, but they don't seem to, you know, I don't know, they just seem to push it in one direction now, you know, and it's kind of bland and inoffensive in many respects, and there's nothing original about any of it, you know.
Me too.
The minute Thin Lizzy came on the radio, I knew it was Philip singing. The minute Gary Moore came on the radio, I knew it was. The minute Deep Purple came on the radio, I knew who it was. But this doesn't seem. I couldn't tell you any of these singers that sing now. I couldn't tell you what they actually. You know, they all sound the same to me. They've all sort of went to the, you know, the Whitney Houston school of music, you know, which was absolutely fabulous. But they all just seem to be clones of what she's done. And, you know, she was the best. She did it first, and she was the best. So why have you all these sort of copies? And they're not near as good as the original either.
All cookie cutters.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are a three-piece. So now, obviously, the song we just heard, the Doomsday Clock, are you playing all the instruments on there in regard to guitars? Or I mean, and when you do play live, do you have folks fill in, or is it just the three of you?
Just the three of us. Joanne, I always say with the band, I give them the, mostly in the studio, when we go into the studio, I play everything apart from the drums, which I pre-program, and then I give them to my drummer, and he just goes in and does it, you know. So he's familiar with the track. So that, but when it comes to playing live, it's just the three amigos up there on stage. And
no, that's great.
There's nowhere to hide, Joanne. You got to be fit to lay it down, you know, because, you know, it's a three-piece band, guitar, bass, and drums. And, you know, you got to be on your on top form to be fit to deliver it. And we do, you know. That's
yeah.
I'm very proud of the guys in the band. They're totally awesome players. And, you know, we like each other as people, you know. And that, to me, is I don't care, you know. You don't have to be the greatest musician in the world, but as long as I like you and we get on well, that is, for me, that's 99.9 of the whole thing, you know. And we have a blast on stage.
Well, that's the best part of it. As long as you're having fun and enjoying yourself, who cares? Now, is John still playing with you? I'm sorry to hear about Tommy's passing, but is John still in the band?
No. John divides his time between Los Angeles and London, and he does mostly photography now, you know. So when we had a band, which after my brother Tommy sadly passed away, we had a band called Celtis, which was very, very different from what the Mama's Boys did and very different to what I do now. This was kind of very, how should I describe it, very ethereal. It was almost like Planet meets Pink Floyd. It was quite a diverse album. We did 3 albums for Sony, and at that period of time, then this is sort of the early 2000s. I, Joanne, to be honest with you, I wanted to come home to Ireland. I had family then, and I just thought I wanted to get out of this rat race, because I could see we were heading down the same road as we were previously, you know. And I said to my brother, and so that was the kind of the last time we occasionally get together for a little jam now and then when he's at home, if he comes home, you know. But no, he doesn't. He's not too involved with music, you know.
Any of your own kids musicians?
No. No, I've only the one daughter, Shannon, and she lives in Edinburgh now, and she's part of the gaming fraternity. She makes games or helps write games. I don't really understand it, Joanne.
Well, you got to tell her to put some of your music in these games.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to her, you know, come on, give us a break here, girl. She says, Dad, I'm only a junior. Wait till I get a little bit higher. If I do, she said, then we'll talk.
There you go. Well, now, I want to play Rock You. Now, any of these songs have any meaning behind them, or no, you're just playing away?
Well, necessarily. I mean, Doomsday Clock is about the environment. This, Joanne, that's something that's very close to my heart, and I've been banging on about this for many, many years, that people think I'm half crazy, you know. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, we're exhausting the earth, you know, and we've got to get back to, you know, to empathize with Mother Earth, because if we don't, I think the human race is in trouble, you know. I really do. So that whole song, if you listen to the lyrics quite carefully, you know, it's about the state of the world and what's happening to us as a human race, you know. And I think we're in danger of the earth not being fit to sustain us any longer, you know. We need to take a step backwards, not forwards, and allow Mother Earth to recoup, should I say. You know, so there is meanings behind the songs, you know. And something like, what did I say? What did you say the other song was?
Rock You. I want to play Rock You.
Ah, yeah. That's just a fun song, you know. I always try to, you know, come up with something that I can get the audience involved, you know, with on stage, and that's like a good opener for the band when they come out on stage. We always keep that and bear that in mind as I'm writing, because essentially we are a live band, and that's where we are best, on stage, playing in front of people, and that's where people get the buzz and the energy from listening to us, you know. So, you know, that's essentially what we are, and really that's a song about just hitting the road and getting out in a different town and laying it down as straight as we can.
Well, that's what it's all about. So here we go. Rock You by the Pat McManus Band. Check this out. With the fact that, you know, you have an Irish accent, but yet when you sing, you have no accent. Tell me, how does that happen?
I try my best not to have an Irish accent.
No, I mean, even the British singers, like when they sing, you don't hear it. It's crazy. It's just something that always fascinated me, but it's great.
Yeah,
it's great. I love the song.
Yeah, I think you're very conscious of it, Joanne, you know, that you tried so that, you know, people can understand what you're saying. I mean, sometimes when I go off on one in my own strange way, people go, what did you say? So I'm really quite conscious when I go to put the vocals down that people can understand what I'm saying, you know. and
yeah.
that they'll go, what was that you said there? So maybe it's just because of that that I'm really aware of the fact that, you know, I want people to actually hear the lyrics, you know, so I maybe overcompensate a little bit, you know, but funnily enough, to me, it sounds really Irish, and I try to get rid of that.
No, I didn't hear it at all, at all. I don't hear it at all. So now, any
well,
tours coming up? You have any tours coming up?
Yeah, yeah, hopefully. Not this side of Christmas, but hopefully in the year 2020, we will get back to some serious tour. Yes, we have some little shows, socially distanced shows, coming up to Christmas and stuff, but nothing too serious yet. It won't be till next year till we actually put the full, well, we've got a lot of dates in for next year into the UK and into Europe. So hopefully, keep our fingers crossed, Joanne, that we actually get, you know, that everything will be allowed to go ahead like normal.
Right. And the new album, Full Service Resumed, is being released on October 8th, I believe. Is it October 8th?
Yes, on Store for Music. Yes, you can get it there. Yep. So that would be, I'm looking really excited about that because I haven't had a release in America for many, many years, you know. So for me, it's real exciting.
Nice. And I love the lead in that that's you obviously playing the lead guitar. So I love that. That was sounded great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me. I'm the responsible for that.
Yeah. It's all me. Oh, real quick. Everybody calls you the professor. Tell us why they call you the professor.
Goes back to, and it's nothing really. It goes back to the very early days of when we were playing as kids, you know, and because we were quite a novelty in Ireland, there wasn't too many rock bands around the time that we were starting out, you know, playing in the rural areas in Ireland. Yes, we had them in Belfast and Dublin, but I'm talking about being out in the sticks, you know. And so I would get the kids coming up to me, asking me what kind of gear I used and what kind of guitars I was using and how do you put these pedals together to get that sound. So I would sit down and try and explain it as best I could. And, of course, I was always late to get on the bus. So a manager came in one night and said, hey, Professor, Professor Pat, it's time to get on the bus. And the kids then heard it, and they just started calling. They'd come to the gigs early and go, is the professor here? You know, so that's how it stuck.
Well, that was nice of you to take the time. Most people would be like, get the hell away from me, you know. So nice of you to do that.
I always made a point, and I still do to this point, at that time.
Yeah.
I always go down. And I love to, you know, even if we're doing a support act, I would go down after our show and just stand in amongst the crowd and listen to the band and chat to the people down there. Because at the end of the day, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. They're the people who can actually, who come to the shows, who paid hard-earned money, they've worked all week. The least you can do is acknowledge that they're in there, you know. It's not
exactly. It's
not us, you know. It's a bit like, to me, it's a bit like Pink Floyd. It's us and them. We're together in this, you know. So to me, you know, I really get great delight. And I learn a lot of things because, you know, they can tell me about bands and musicians that I've never heard tell of. And, you know, it's great. It keeps me alert. And it keeps me wanting to discover more. So, yes, I think it's very important that you touch base with people on a front like that. And just, for me, I know as a kid growing up, I would have loved that. There wasn't many opportunities to actually sit in and talk to, you know, your heroes like that there. So, you know, any opportunity I get, I'll try and help out as best I can. Because you never know, somewhere along the line, there might be some musician there that will go on to be very, very successful. So,
yeah.
You know, at least I would be fit to say, well, I knew that guy when he was standing in the audience, or girl, for that matter, standing in the audience, and they're now become, you know, really successful musicians. So it would be marvelous from that point of view.
Well, speaking of other artists, who would you love to collaborate with?
Oh, wow. My all-time favorite guitar player is Jeff Beck, the English guitar player.
I think the
man is so innovative. Every single thing he does on that guitar, it defies human logic. You know,
no. He's
so wonderful. So, yes, that would be on my bucket list of things of musicians to play with. He would be my number one, without a shadow.
Well, you got to make that happen.
If I could go back in time for a musician, it would have to be Jimi Hendrix, of course.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just think, you know, even to this day, we can't do, we haven't even reached anything near the stuff that Hendrix was doing. He was just totally one off. So, yes, so if I could go back in time, it would be him. And to the present day, it would be Jeff Beck, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jeff's a legend. And so is Jimmy, obviously. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to play one more song since let's play this for the folks in Ireland. And I think they'll enjoy it. And they probably know it already because I think it was on a prior album, the Belfast City Blues. Yes?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. It was on the very first Mama's Boys album. That album actually was just recorded within, the total album was recorded in a day. So the
really?
Recording of it. Yeah. We did the very strange thing of going into the studio at the time. I mean, it was unheard of really in those days. Actually, most bands were just making demo tapes. We actually went in, had saved up enough money to go into a studio for a day and laid down the first Mama's Boys album in a day. And the Belfast City Blues was one of those tracks that was actually on that. I think I was about 18 when I wrote that track. So, and it was, you have to remember at that time in Ireland, things were not good, you know. So it's a little social comment on Ireland at that stage, as we were growing up and what we felt as kids about it, you know. So that's what that song's about.
Well, we are short on time, and this song runs 6 minutes, so I'm going to close with it. But before I close, I want to say thank you very much, and I love the new stuff. It's fabulous. Do you have a website or anything where people can find out more information about you, Pat?
Indeed, I do. Yeah, I do. It's patmcmanus.co.uk.
Cool. Well, Pat, thank you so much. Yes, thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with
you.
Yes, I love the music.
And likewise, Joanne, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate that. And say hello to everybody on Applause Radio out there.
Oh, of course. Everybody, Pat McManus. Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much.
God bless.
We're
going to
close
you,
with Belfast City Blues. I thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And you take care, and you come back anytime you want.
Thank you very much, Joanne. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank
Same
you.
Here. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Pat. Everybody, Pat McManus Bye-bye. From the Pat McManus Band. Check out the new album coming out on October 8th. It is called Full Service Resumed, and you can get it at the store for music and also go to Pat McManus's website. So thank you so much, Pat. You take care. Thank you.
God bless, Joanne. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we're running short on time, folks, so I just want to get this last song in. So join me tomorrow real quick. We've got director, How to Hack Birth Control, Sassy Moen at 9 p.m. Eastern, October 3rd. And I am considering doing a dance music night tonight because I enjoyed last night with The Rock. So I think we might make this song in at 6 minutes and 34 seconds, and I've got 6 minutes left. So take care, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your weekend. And this is Belfast City Blues by the Pat McManus Band off of the new album, Full Service Resumed. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.
Please.